church. It is great to be back this morning to be able to worship with you guys, and we are excited about the fact that God is still on the throne, that He is still in control, and that He is continually guiding and leading us, even when we can't see what the next step is. He's got the entire future plan for each and every one of us. And our best goal is to live our lives in such a way as we lean into that and allow Him to continue to do His work. Today I want to remind you to be praying for a lot of different people. We had some things come up, and there's been a lot going on in our world. We know that Libby Thulin has kind of relapsed in her cancer, and we just pray for wisdom for the doctors as they try to take care of her. And it was rough to be able to see a post today where someone, it might even been her mom, got to go and see Libby from outside through a window on like the fifth floor and only could wave from outside the building. So pray for them because they're going through so much as a family. Also, there's a lot of people who are struggling right now emotionally, and we're seeing a lot of that take place as it is acted out in the lives of young people around us. A lot of things are just so disturbed and so difficult that young people are hurting and doing drastic things, not just for attention, but because they have no hope and they've lost focus and hope. So please pray for them as well. So let's go before the Lord in prayer before we worship today. Father God, we come before You today and we ask that You would do an amazing work in our lives, that You would be the one who comforts those who are mourning, comfort those who are hurting, and that You would restore hope to those who are lost in the darkness of this world. We ask that this morning would be a day in which we come before You and we worship, but our focus changes from things external and things in the world to the fact that You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and everything's going to be okay because You are in control and You will see us through whatever we face in this life. So Lord, when we come before You and we lift up people like Libby who's struggling and fighting for her life, we ask that You would just walk with her in that struggle. Be with her family, and I pray for peace and for healing for them as well. And Lord, for everyone who is hurting and in pain and willing to give up, Lord, I just pray that You would fill them with hope that spurs them forward, and that we would see You do amazing things in our day. Lord, be with all of us right now. Be with our country. Be with our leaders. Be with our churches. Be with Your people, Lord, as You promised You would. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we worship this morning.
Thank you.
Forget to make him known. We forget to thank and praise him for who he is. We forget to remind the world about what he has done and is so great and so good. And there's nothing like having your kid say to you, "Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom." And you know that they mean it.
Yes.
That's the moment in time when you look and one of the greatest things that we see is when their lives begin to reflect what we've taught them and want from them. And they don't even have to use words at that moment. But when they come back and they say, "You know, Mom, you know, Dad, now that I'm older, I realize feel so good, don't we? Imagine how God would feel if all of us continually poured out our thanks and praise to Him because He's our good God.
Well, I got a problem. Thank you, John. And every day I look at you, I realize that my problems are nothing in comparison to yours. All right. But you know, yesterday morning at 4 o'clock, I was minding my own business, sleeping until I wasn't. And I laid there on Saturday morning at 4 a.m., staring at the ceiling, tossing, turning, getting elbowed by the wife saying, why are you awake? And you're keeping me awake and all this stuff. And I laid there, and about 5:30, I finally got up and I said, all right, God, if this is the way things are going to be, obviously, you got something to say. And with that, I chucked the sermon for this morning. So Rachel's going to be excited because she doesn't even get to use her finger to click another screen until the end, until we get to the songs. Look, she's so excited. She's back there. Oh, it's great. But the problem is when God does that stuff to me, I get a little nervous because I'm like, God, are you sure? I have everything planned. I've got everything done. Things are set. Michelle's got it all entered in. It should be good. We're ready to go. Why are you changing my plans at the last minute? And he goes, well, for such a time as this, it's time to pray. And you know, God doesn't waste moments in time ever. Good times, bad times, he doesn't waste them. They're all to grow us and shape us and mold us into who we're supposed to be. He works in our lives. And if you think everything's going wrong, look for him to be doing something really right. And sometimes God uses difficult times to get our attention and that we would turn back to him. And the difficulty with that is, and I did it this morning, I went and I looked, and remember that verse, behold, I will do something in your day that you never dreamed possible. Anybody ever heard that verse before? Something similar to that? Well, everybody loves that, right? Yeah, God's going to do something great. And I went through and I looked at that and I was like, oh, that's a great verse. I want to use that today. And you know where that baby is sandwiched? Right in a time when God is going to send Babylonians in to destroy everything. Break down everything and enslave everyone. So hold on. There we go. Back up at it. Good. And I was looking at that, and it was funny because I quickly checked a couple things, and I put a little post on the Mount Carroll Church of God Facebook page, and up pops Billy Graham quoting that exact thing, right? I'm like going, there's a video of him from like 1940 doing something and preaching out of that passage. And I'm like, well, God, that is not reassuring that you're wanting that verse out there this morning, and you're saying the Babylonians are coming to destroy everything that you know, hold dear. But I really think that if there was ever a time in our lives that we were to pray, it's now. We should have been praying. And if the recent events leading up to this day have not gotten your attention, I'm telling you, right now is a time for you to become a man and a woman of God who prays and seeks what God desires as he prepares us and the world for the days ahead. And you know, there was, as I sat there yesterday morning sketching out a little bit of what I felt God was saying, I made 5 phone calls to 5 different people and invited them to join in the nervousness of this mess. And they, people who pray, and they're going, I don't know if I can do this on this short notice. And I'm like, yeah, guess how I feel on Sunday morning when God changes the script. But that's exactly what we're going to do today. John Wesley said, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. And I think that's because he read where Jesus said in Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And you know, until we do those things, God just kind of sits there and waits back for us. Because he tells us we have to go, and we have to knock, and we have to ask, and we have to wait for Jesus' response. So today we are going to ask, and we're going to seek, and we're going to knock, because Scripture in another spot, in another time where the nation Israel is heading into a difficult time, he reminds them in 2 Chronicles 7:14 through 16. When you see a pattern in Scripture, you got to kind of pay attention to what God's saying and when he's saying it. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place, and I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And so my hope is, and my desire is for each and every one of us, is that today as we go into this time of prayer, that we turn this place into a place of prayer, where we seek God, where we open up and invite him to come. And when we do that, he's going to be saying, all right, let's see you put your lives where your mouths are. Let's see you come and pray. And it's a unique thing. As I shared earlier, right now, the young people who should be full of hope and no fear, no apprehension, are difficult times. And our world right now is having a difficult time. And we're seeing young people being devastated in ways that we don't understand. We can't comprehend. So this morning I've asked Chris Sauer to come, and she's going to come up and pray for the people who are hurting, for the young, the old, for those who are struggling. And as she comes, I want to read for you from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Paul says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how high, how wide and long and high. I knew this was going to happen. And deep is the love of Christ, as John gets me a water. And to know this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Woo! Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And to him be glory in the church, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. Chris, would you come and pray?
It is something different when you pray at home, when you pray in the privacy of your car, when you're praying around the table, than when you stand behind a pulpit in front of people at a church and you offer a prayer to God Almighty. This isn't just words blopping out there. This is a petition to the Lord God Almighty, my Creator. Oh my, it's a totally different thing. But this morning we're coming, and we're coming for people everywhere who hurt, for young, for children, for families, Lord, for people who are in the bondage of fear, for people who are in bondage of a nursing home. All these things we're coming to God for today. And so please bow your heart. And when we pray, please think of someone that you know, because we all know someone who we need to direct these prayers to. And let God work in the way that only God can. Lord God Almighty, Lord God Almighty. Oh, when you say those words, it should take us to our knees. Lord God Almighty, we come to you this morning and we acknowledge that we can do nothing. Anything that happens is because of you, and it is by your will and by your grace and by your power. Lord God, we bring people who need you so desperately. Some of them are sick, and there's no way out. There's no way to pay for the bills. There's no way. Maybe the doctors are stumped. Lord God Almighty, give them the hope that they can find in you. Lord Jesus, no matter how you work through their lives, may they draw closer to you. I bring to you people in nursing homes. Oh, Lord, I feel so desperately bad for them. Please, Jesus, help them to feel your strength and to feel your power working in their lives. Lord, help the caregivers around them to give them hope and love. And Lord Jesus, to help them through this time of separation. Lord God, we pray for children. Children who are in a world not of their making, and they don't really know any different. But Lord God, protect their hearts and their minds. Help them, Lord, to be shown the love of Jesus. Jesus loves me is a song not many children know anymore. Please, Jesus, reach into those little sweethearts and just give them comfort. Be with their families, be with their moms and dads as they try to navigate this very difficult world right now. Lord Jesus, give them stability in your word and in their prayer time. Lord God, give them the strength to get through this. Lord, we pray for people who feel hopeless, not hopeful. Oh, you are the God of hope. You are the God of hope. We pray, Jesus, that your grace and mercy will infiltrate their hearts, their minds, and their homes. Lord God, give them the strength they need to not focus on what's going on around them, but to focus on God the Creator, Lord God Almighty. And then there's us here in the pews, us who know them as neighbors or as family, or as work people. Help us, Lord, to come on side, to listen to your inner promptings, to come alongside them, to be prepared to lift them up. Oh God, give us a desire to make a difference through you, and in all things help us to become less and you to become more, so that we can shine you into a sad, desperate, hopeless world around us. Please, Jesus, we need your help. Please, Jesus, we ask that your grace and mercy will flow into everyone who needs you so desperately. And if their hearts are turning to you, that they would soften and they would listen to your word. And Lord, help us to be diligent to learn your word and to live your word so that we can be your hands and your feet and your encouragement into this world around us. We ask these things in your precious name, Lord. And now, may the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in you, so that we will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Miss Chris. And you know, it's no secret to any of us that much of the distraction and the confusion and the fear that we're seeing is played out day after day right now. It's played out in our politics. It's played out in our nation. We're seeing things that shouldn't be seen. And we're getting constantly fed fear and trembling. And we're supposed to be praying for people that seem to be acting like children, aren't they? Right now, this is a shot across everybody's bow. There's many people in government this day around the world and in our nation that are acting like schoolyard bullies. And we can get angry and we can come against them, or we can do what God has told us to do, and that's to pray for them. So I'm asking a man who every day prays for our local government, our state and federal governments, to come and to pray. And as he comes, I want to read for you from 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge you then, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is no God, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And Jeremiah 29:7 says, also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile, and pray for the Lord to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper.
No small important task to pray for our nation, for our state, for our military. So here we go. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne room of grace, may we do it with confidence because of your shed blood. May we also do it with humility and respect. So we come before you uplifting this nation unto you. Not only this nation unto you, but the state and its military leaders. First and foremostly of all, that they would seek a godly wisdom and divine discernment in decisions that they make each and every day. Each and every day and night, Lord, that they would seek you. It's something that we forget. We put you behind and don't ask you for guidance and direction. So I pray that that's what our national leaders would do, state leaders, military leaders, first and foremost. We ask, Lord, that you'd be with the chaos that's going on right now, with the changing of President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for how you've used these two men for the past few years, but I pray now for the next few days that they are still in office, that this will be done in a peaceful and orderly manner, and that the exchange of powers will go along smoothly. I thank you how you have used President Trump for promoting life and how important it is, and for those three judges that got appointed by him, one of his greatest legacies that will follow him, I'm sure. We ask you to be his president-elect, Joe Biden, Vice President-elect, Kammerer. Be preparing him, Lord Jesus, for the office that they are going to be taking over, for the great responsibilities that's going to be coming before them. We ask you, Lord, to be with the advisors to the presidency, members of the cabinet, all the secretaries that will be coming in. I ask you to be with Sonny Perdue as he prepares to leave, Secretary of Agriculture, one who's near and dear to my heart, and to be with John Vilsack as he prepares to take over. It's a role that he's been familiar with. He's done it before, but still be guiding and directing agriculture, one of the greatest resources we have in this nation, to take over. We ask you to be with members of the House of Representatives. We uplift Nancy Pelosi unto you, guiding and directing her. You know, we think of the far left and far right, and we need to get along, Lord Jesus. We need to agree to disagree on certain items and things that are before our nation, before our state, with love and respect for people, and not want to tear them down and belittle them. So again, I uplift Nancy Pelosi unto you and the House of Representatives. Be with the honey, you as senators. I should be with Mitch McConnell, Lord, as he oversees the Senate. The 9th Supreme Court justices who carry the laws of our land and decisions that they make and the great responsibility that's upon them, guiding and directing them. And be with the state of Illinois. We ask you to be with our governor. Our governor, Lord Jesus, in this state. I know his name. I say it so many times, but Lord, you know it. J.B. Pritzker. Oh, Lord, be with him, guiding and directing him. Be with the members of the Congress, of the Senate we have in Illinois. I ask you to be with Sherry Bustles, Andrew Chesney, and Tony McCombie, Lord, our representatives in the state. Lift them up to you, guiding and directing them. I pray that our state and government officials would seek you, Lord, in decisions they make, and help them be accountable decisions that we could, especially financially, that we can work on getting our debts paid down in this state and this nation, and focusing upon you and your values, oh Lord. Continue in prayer. Ask that you would be with services that we don't normally pray for because of the questionable ethical work that they do, but just as well, they need guidance and direction from you, maybe most of all, maybe the Secret Service, the FBI, and the CIA. Oh Lord, I lift them up to you and ask you to be with the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard, our men and women who are serving this nation all over this world. Truly, we pray that they are serving in areas where you want them to be, saying and doing and being used by you. For it is in your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Rob. One of the difficult things that we always run into is that big question of what do we do? And we've heard a lot of ethical questions about those who serve and what happens when they are given orders that may contradict what God desires. So I've asked John Ricketts to come and to share with us this morning a little bit and pray for those in the military and the law enforcement.
Well, Vince asked me to come, and after prayer, the biggest word is authority. Vince knows how I love that word. But I'm going to share with you a quick little passage, and it's out of Romans. It says, Christians' duties to the state, that everyone submit to the government authorities, since there's no other authority except through God. And the authority that exists are instituted by God. So then, one who resists authority opposes God's command. And those who oppose it bring judgment upon themselves. And it goes further and says this. It says, and for this reason, you pay taxes. We love paying taxes. Since the authorities of God's servants continually attend to these taxes, pay your obligations to everyone. Taxes to whom you owe taxes, tolls to who you owe taxes, but here's the perfect part, it says, respect those who are in authority and honor those who you owe honor. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, merciful Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into this house. Your blessing, O Lord, your presence, your authority, O Lord, everything that you bestow upon us, your guidance and protection, O Lord, your love and mercies. Most of all, Father, just to be able to have your presence with us is amazing. I ask you, O Lord, to look after our law enforcement, Lord, the horrible things to the terrorism, just the brutality, Lord, that they stand firm every day and they put that uniform on and they go out forth to withhold peace, to hold it. They go forth, O Lord. I ask that you protect every one of them. You protect their homes and their families, Lord, and the things that they bring home with them, Lord, the baggage of just the day and the weeks and the month, Lord, that you comfort their hearts and their minds, that you protect them, Lord, you put a shroud around them, Lord, that the violence towards them stops. This nation, O Lord, was not founded on terror and was not founded on chaos. They, O Lord, are the ones that are trying to keep the nation together, the states and the cities, Lord. The military, O Lord, please protect them as they go forth not only on our soil trying to pull this country back together, but as they go forth out of our nation, Lord. That you protect them as they're doing their duties. You protect them, O Lord, as they're fulfilling their orders, as they are under authority. They're doing what they ask and they've been asked to do. That you keep them safe, Lord, and you protect them that you fill their hearts and their minds, Lord, and give them glory. Most of all, Lord, help them, both the law enforcement and the military, Lord, to see you and see your presence, to feel your blessing and your mighty hand upon them, that you keep them, O Lord, safe, that you keep their leaders, O Lord, safe, and give them wisdom, that they have the ability to discern what is right and wrong, that they hear, O Lord, your words, that they hear and they feel your presence, Lord. But not only that, as they come home, Lord, broken and battered, that we help hold them up, that as we hold them up, Lord, they can be healed. Give them the provisions that they need, Lord. Help them to be comforted. Help them to be welcomed. Help them, Lord, not only to be comforted and welcomed, but to come to your glory. Let them hear from you, Lord. Bless their families, Lord, as they're apart. It's difficult to be apart from our loved ones. That you bless their wives and husbands and their children and their moms and dads, Lord, and you comfort them. That most of all, Father, out of all this, if we could just stop, take a breath, and rest ourselves, we hear from you, Lord. Bless them in your holy and mighty name, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, John. One of the unique blessings I get from being a pastor here is every once in a while I get someone who slips through the door into my office. And every once in a while I get a visit from Miss Nancy. And Miss Nancy comes in and she always speaks words of encouragement and kindness, and it's always so incredible to hear what she shares. And I picked some verses as she comes to pray for the church and the leaders of the churches, not only here, but also around the world. I picked some verses that just sound like her. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and the depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. And then Hebrews 13, 18, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. Miss Nancy, would you come and pray? Do you want this one or that one?
Oh, they don't have to come up here.
Well, you can do that.
Oh, dear.
You want this one, or do you want to use that one?
I don't know.
Oh, just use that one.
Okay, you all can hear me. Glad I made it up here without tripping and making a scene. That would have been fun. Pastor asked me to talk about the church. And I think, if you think about it, all the churches that are represented here, as we grew up and we went to church. My Sunday school teacher in high school, her name was Mrs. Williams, and her husband happened to marry Perry and I a couple years ago. And her verse was, "We pray that our outward lives, which men see, may bring credit to the Master's name, and that you will bring joy to his heart by being genuine Christian, by bearing genuine Christian fruit, and that your knowledge of God may grow yet deeper." Are we doing that sometimes, I wonder? And we want to, don't we? And so today I'm supposed to be praying for the church, right? Not preaching. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we come before you. And Father, I'm so thankful that when I come to you, you don't say, what's your zip code? What's your address? Father, but when I say, oh, Lord, you know, oh, you know me. Because you say, Father, you know us by name. What a blessing that is, Father. And Father, we pray for this church and all the programs that we have, Lord, to share the faith and to pass it on. And Father, we pray for the Sunday school, the junior churches, and the Awanas, Father. Keep us as leaders willing to prepare and willing to make the gospel exciting so that kids and adults will say, oh, that church is something different. And Father, we thank you that you love us as individuals. You care about every issue of our lives. In fact, you say you have the hairs on our head counted. Father, thank you for loving me so much. Thank you for caring for us. And Father, thank you for family and parents. I have a memory of my dad. He didn't see me as I walked by his bedroom door. But Father, I saw my daddy on his knees praying. What a most precious memory I have of my father. And Father, I kind of forgot what I'm supposed to pray about. But thank you for this church. Help it to go forward, Father. Help us to pass the faith on to the next generation and the next generation after that. Thank you for the leaders that we have in this church. Godly people, Lord, that have knowledge on sharing their faith and leading us. Now, Father, just bless the rest of this day. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks, Miss Nancy.
You're welcome, sir.
And you know, there's another lady in the church who every once in a while shows up unexpected. She pops in and says, Pastor, I just need to tell you something. And she's so excited about what's going on in the future and what God is going to do. It's always in a moment of, I wonder what she's going to share next. But it's incredible every time Ray Tim does come through my door and she shares from her heart what God is saying to her and tries to remind us of those things. And it's always a blessing when she does come and share. So this morning, I wanted to remind us of a verse in Jeremiah 29:11. It's something that in days like we have been seeing that it's hard to imagine or grab hold of, but the reality is we can. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from the captivity. I will gather you from the nations and the places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I'll bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. You know, it's awesome that God has great things in store for us, and he has things to teach us in store for us. And so at this time, I'd like to have Ray come up and share with us and just pray for us and the future and the hope that we have through knowing Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You got to use this one because they said you can't use the pulpit one. I'm sorry. You got to listen to my daughter. She's yelling at me.
Well, your daughter's yelling at
me. Oh, yeah. Back there.
All right. Happy Sunday, everybody. You know, I have a bunch of grandkids like you guys do, and I remember when they were younger, and I would get to have them for a whole weekend, and man, we'd have a good time. Now they're all grown up, but their dad, when I go to pick them up, he'd line up the kids, and he'd go like this. And I said to him, what does that mean? And he says, they know what it means. Well, I think our Heavenly Father does the same at this point in our church life. He wants us to know that he sees us. He's focused on us. We're no different than any other church, and he doesn't love us any more than any other church. But about a year ago, He shared with me that he was doing a new thing here in Mount Carroll Church of God a year ago, and I got all excited about it, and I went down to see Pastor and let him know. And the next week, the very next week, COVID hit, and we were grounded. We couldn't get together. But that does not negate what God said. He's doing a new thing. And not only is he doing a new thing, but it's beautiful. So be encouraged. He's not finished with this yet. I'd like to read with you for a second here. Isaiah 50. Nope, that's not it either. 55, sorry. Isaiah is a wonderful man, and he's a man after my own heart because he gets all excited. He goes, ho! Ho, everyone who's thirsty, come by and to the waters, and you who have no money, come by and eat. And then he says, come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what is not does not satisfy? Then down here, he says to me, and this is so important, I know you guys know it, I'm preaching to the choir here, so to speak, but I just want to set you up a little bit. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so he reassures us. He reassures us. And I'm just going to pray for our church a little bit here. I love you all. I love you all greatly. Didn't always love you all, but I do love you now. God has taken me through the woodshed more than once, and I truly do love you. Heavenly Father, we rest in your love today. You are a mighty God, and there is nothing impossible with you. Father, we will keep our focus on you this year in our future. We will not look about to the left or to the right or what is going ahead of us or behind us. We will look to you, Father. You do have a plan for us. It's a beautiful plan. Father, it's as if the Holy Spirit is hovering over us, like brooding over us, like you did when you created the earth and the oceans, and you just brooded over it. What a delight, Father. It just, in my spirit, it just seems you're doing that. Our days and our times are in your hands, and we so completely trust you, Lord. You are our foreguard and our rear guard. We will fulfill all the purposes that you have for us, Father. I claim that we are a church that loves the Word of God, that we are hungry and thirsty for it, and we will be satisfied. I praise you and thank you for every person that can sing or teach, all of our counselors, all our elders and deacons, and all the hard workers, people that love us, who pray for us. And I'm overwhelmed, Father God, with your tender mercies toward us. I pray that your grace would fill us this year and overflow abundantly, that we could go out and share the gospel with any and everyone, young and old. We need to be about your business, Father. Anoint us, anoint freshly our pastor, Lord, I pray. He's such a good shepherd. You've given us such a good shepherd, Lord God. You have fed us over and over again with all the good of your word. Through him, Father, he has inspired us to press into you, to acknowledge you, to follow you, to walk in your steps. I get excited every time I leave here, Lord. I take notes, and I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this church. And I know that you're going to open windows and doors for us to go through. Maybe not windows, but doors. I know that you're closing doors that are not for us. So may we continue to be a church that serves you, Lord, with pure hearts and loving one another. It's kind of like in the Old Testament where the oil was poured on Aaron's head and it fell down over his beard and onto his robe, and it was a beautiful thing in your sight, Lord, because it represented unity and anointing. And so, Father, we go forward in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, Father, into 2021 with no fear, only trust and joy and gladness in you, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise and thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you much, Ray.
Yep.
Yes, please don't fall. Well, you see better than most. That's good. So, it's been interesting. This has been kind of different for us to have this many people get up and to lead and to pray. But one of the unique things that was asked by the disciples of Jesus was, Lord, teach us to pray. And we have to keep in mind that this isn't about us in the United States and about our desires. It's about what God desires. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, Jesus said, Our Father in heaven, what a privilege that is to say, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That should be the focus and desire of our hearts, that God's kingdom would be built and grown and he would be glorified. And as he leads us and delivers us from the evil one, we would watch for the exit ramp and follow him there. But here's one warning Jesus did give right after teaching us how to pray and seek God's will for our lives. Forgive our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he says, For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. I really wish that wasn't there, don't you? But it is. And so we're accountable to it. I love Ray's honesty, don't you? I love all of you. I couldn't always say that because there are some of you I didn't love. But now I love all of you. And she means it. And you know what? That is the forgiving when sinned against, when hurt by, when government officials and other political parties and people don't act like we think that they should act. And in doing so, in the forgiveness, in the loving anyways, we also find forgiveness and love. Not just from those people, hopefully, but most importantly, from God our Savior. So as the worship team comes, let's pray. Father God, you are in control, and we are along for the ride of our lives. And Lord, we thank you for that, that we don't have to be. That you are in control of the church, you are in control of this world, and you can do amazing things, but sometimes you use difficulty to teach. May we learn. May we listen and be prepared for whatever comes ahead. For the one who goes with us and goes before us and comes behind us is greater than all we could ever dream or imagine. So Lord, have your way with us. Build your kingdom through us. And may you receive all the glory and the honor and praise. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song this morning.
before you today as your church. And we just come before you and we ask that you would have your way in us, that we would surrender to you and your will, that we would put all of our hope and trust in you, and that we would see you do things in our day that totally amaze us. For many, it feels like we've gone over the brink and there's no way back, but Jesus, you have said, come to me, you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I just pray, Lord, that the church will come back to you and seek your face and pray, and we'll see our community, our country, and our world healed in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.